Well, good evening, everyone. I have 7 o'clock. Let's get started. My name is Bruce Bonesack. I'm the chairman of the Industrial Development Agency. And before we get started, there's some housekeeping chores. We have to take care of the fire exits, so that's also my job. There's a fire exit in the front where most of you came in, and there's a fire exit in the back, and there's one over on the side. I don't think there's going to be any oxygen coming out from the ceiling, but that's where the exits are. Again, I want to welcome you to the Ginsburg public hearing on behalf of the Industrial Development Agency. Purpose of our hearing tonight is to hear and solicit comments on the financial assistance being contemplated by the IDA. That's our chore, and that's our goal, and we want everyone to speak this evening. We do have some housekeeping and some information that we want to distribute, and we have some speakers that want to come up before we do so. I want to introduce the IDA board members that are here this evening. Bob Galluccio, Bobby, raise your hand. Bob Stickles, Jim Backer, and myself. Ken Flood is our executive director, and Ted Zetterman is our attorney. We're going to waive the reading of the notice. The notice is available on the front table, along with a summary of the proposal, and also the cost-benefit analysis that Ken will go through shortly. So those are available at the table, so we hope you all pick one of those up. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Ted Gutterman and talk about the IDA statutory purposes.
Thank you, Bruce. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it would be helpful to basically read the basic portion of the IDA statute by which the IDA board members are charged with how they are to act on these applications, and basically sets forth the purposes of the IDA. And this is General Obligations Law, Section 858, and it defines the purposes and powers of the IDA as follows: to promote, develop, encourage, and assist in the maintaining and furnishing of industrial, manufacturing, warehousing, commercial, research, and recreational facilities, and to provide and advance the job opportunities, health, general prosperity, and economic welfare of the people of the state of New York. So that is the statutory purpose of the IDA. They sit in, basically, their main purpose is to facilitate businesses to grow, to come to Columbia County, to stay in Columbia County, and basically to help the folks in Columbia County reap the benefits that these businesses provide in terms of tax revenues and basically economic benefits that the businesses provide. Now, the IDA statute, basically, the benefits that the IDA can provide, there are three basic benefits. The IDA, by facilitating and sponsoring a project, can offer mortgage tax relief, so that if an applicant is looking for, say, a $5 million mortgage, the mortgage tax on that would be $62,500. But if the IDA were to adopt and facilitate the project, that mortgage tax would be waived and the company would gain a benefit. The IDA can provide sales tax relief, so that if a company is purchasing materials and building and equipment, the IDA can offer them a sales tax exemption through the facilitation of the project by the IDA. And finally, the IDA can offer what are called pilot agreements, or a payment in lieu of tax agreement. Those are basically meant to basically, while the company is getting, is spending money for their project, and they're taking money from their own resources to basically assist them in being able to complete the project, and to give them a benefit while they're completing the project, so that when the project is completed, we'll have the increased amount of jobs and the increased amount of tax revenue. The IDA does not actually lend money. The IDA just merely facilitates the project, and by sponsoring the project, that gives the applicant the ability to get these benefits. It participates with the company so that the company can qualify for these benefits, but they're basically benefits in the nature of tax savings. I wanted to basically say that this hearing that we're about to have has nothing to do with any other issue except these three issues: mortgage tax relief, sales tax relief, and pilot agreements. It has nothing to do with the issue of the acquisition of the land.
Why not?
Let me finish, please. You can ask that question. You can raise that issue. The IDA has no, they're not involved at all in the acquisition of the land. It has nothing to do with the site plan process. That's another agency that does that. It has nothing to do with the New York State block grant application. That's New York State that does that. The only relevant issue for this hearing, and the issue that the IDA board members are interested in hearing about, relates solely to the financial assistance that the IDA may provide. The issue of the value of the land to be acquired by the company is not within the scope of the IDA's review. The IDA has no input regarding this issue. There's another agency that's dealing with that issue, and the IDA is not involved. Therefore, comments regarding the acquisition of the land have little relevance to the IDA's determination, and it would be much more helpful to the board members to hear public comments relating to the issues that the IDA board will consider, which are what benefits would be appropriate, and what scope of those benefits would be with this situation in connection with taking action consistent with the IDA purposes in order to keep the company in Columbia County for the purpose of providing continuing jobs and economic benefits to the residents of the county. I'll now turn this back to Bruce.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Jim McAher to come up and review the proposal. And the proposal, again, is on the table in the front.
If you don't have a copy of the proposal, I suggest you might get it. I don't want to have to read the whole proposal up here, but I do want to outline it. I am Jim McAher. I'm a resident and taxpayer in the town of Quaverick. I'm one of the six members of the IDA board. We're here tonight to discuss the tax incentives that Ted has just talked about, and I want to go into those in a little bit of detail with you tonight so that we can have your input. Your input is important in this process, but before we do that, I want to go through some of the facts of the application, as I know some of the communications and reporting on this have not been of the best, perhaps, and there's some misunderstandings as to what they are. The Columbia County IDA has an application from DNJ Properties and G's Best Realty. Those are real estate holding companies in the Ginsburg business structure, which would own the properties. They would be the ones that would be the taxable entities in this. The properties are operated under the Ginsburgs, but the application comes from these companies. They're seeking tax benefits that are outlined in that sheet that I hope you picked up, but I'm going to go through those in a little bit of detail here. The reason the IDA is considering this application is to encourage the company to develop the new facility in Columbia County and expand the local employment from the current number as reported in the application of 254 full-time employees and 7 part-time employees. The intent is to create at least 21 new jobs in phase one. There's 3 phases proposed in this application. And in addition to the jobs that would be retained and the jobs that would be created with a new expansion, there are at least 28 full-time jobs by indirect. These are people that work with Ginsburgs or for Ginsburgs. I think this includes people like Ryder truck people that service the trucks and such, So there's at least 28 other jobs other than Ginsburg's payroll itself. And the construction is estimated to have 49 full-time construction jobs. I think that's roughly a payroll of around $15 million a year. And I think any economic advisor would tell you that a payroll goes through the community about 2.5 to 3 times in its economic benefits. So a $15 million payroll a year is going to provide something in excess of $40 million or so in economic benefit throughout the county.
How long is the construction? You said the construction, then you said the annual fee is, the annual is $15 million. The construction is only going to last a year or two, right?
The construction, as has been proposed in this, would be completed within 3 years. The phase one would be completed within 3 years.
Is there a guarantee that there can be 21 jobs?
Please, we will address questions.
Is there a guarantee?
There will be an agreement drawn that will have language in it. Yes, there'll be clawback language in an agreement that'll be drawn. But let me go back here. Now, the project itself is going to involve up to 3 phases. The initial phase would involve the purchase of 33 acres of land from Columbia Economic Development Corporation. That is not the IDA. As Ted said, we have no involvement in the purchase. If they don't purchase the land, there's no IDA action to be taken here. If they do purchase the land under whatever agreement that they come to with the CEDC, then the IDA application would go forward. The IDA application then would involve 3 different facilities in the way of tax exemptions. Ted outlined those before, but I want to give you details on that. Sales tax on construction materials and equipment. Sales tax, 8.25%, roughly. The taxable portion of this would be estimated around $5 million. So there would be about a $400,000 sales tax exemption issued on phase one. When it goes to phase two and phase three with additional construction, the phase one construction is $12 million, by the way. And the phase two and phase three would be up to an additional $40 million. The mortgage recording tax, and this is payable to the county, it's 1.25% on commercial mortgages. Anybody that's purchased a house and taken out a mortgage knows one of the closing costs is mortgage tax. And 1.25% on $12 million is a pretty big number. It's about $118,000. We've estimated up to $125,000 here on the sheet is what the mortgage tax exemption would be on phase one. On phase two and three, it could be up to another $250,000. The third component of this is the real property tax, or the pilot. The pilot is short for payment in lieu of taxes. It's a payment that the company would make to the IDA. The IDA would then filter the money down to the county, to the town, and to the school district, for whatever the pilot agreement calls for. There's 2 components to the application as we've received, asking for 2 different pilot considerations. Ginsburg's currently operates a facility you're probably familiar with. The facility has been assessed for about $3.2 million. They have an existing pilot on that property. That pilot is in this year, 2014, the last year of the pilot payments. They paid this year a little over $92,000 in the pilot payment. And the tax, if it had not been a pilot, would actually have been less this year. It would have been $88,650. And the reason for that is the actual assessment on the property is less than what the agreement was in the pilot agreement. So the pilot actually had tracked a higher assessment than what the town assessors had put on the property. The application is to to extend that pilot on the existing property for an additional 5 years. That 5 years would be freezing the payment at what the payment would be this year, $88,650. So no one is going to receive less than what the taxes would have been this year for the next 5 years on that. That property is all within the town of Clawbrick. It is all within the Hudson City School District. There's some reporting on that earlier after the Conic Hills Board meeting, I believe, incorrectly stated that the tax would be cut in half on that property. That is not the case. The second part of the application is a request for a new pilot on the property to be purchased. And again, if this is purchased and they go forward with a construction project in the estimated amount of $12 million. The property they're talking about is the 33 acres. It is partially in the town of Ghent, partially in the town of Clawbrick. It is all within the Conic Hills School District. That property is currently owned by Columbia Economic Development Corporation. It was purchased in 1997 by that corporation for $109,950. It has been exempt from all taxes while it's been owned by CEDC. The requested pilot agreement will result in full payment of any fire district tax and any other special tax. That's also true on the existing pilot on the property that's in the Hudson City School District. They pay the full fire district tax in addition to the agreed pilot program. The requested pilot for phase one, this is the $12 million construction project, is that no payment would be made to the county, the town, or the school district for the first 6 years. Beginning in year seven, 50% of the full assessed tax calculation, and this amount will increase by 10% each year. So in year seven, it's 50%, year eight is 60%, year nine, 70%, and so on. It will reach, in year 12, 100% of the full assessed tax calculation. The pilot is to start no later than when they receive the certificate of occupancy on that construction project. The application further requests that the pilot agreement address the subsequent phases, phase two and three, and the possibility that two and three would be combined into one construction phase when another large addition would be put onto that property. This is the 33 acres that would be purchased. If that is the case and they operate in phases two and three, the pilot would be the same. No tax the first 6 years of each phase, and then starting in year seven, 50%, and so on. If they're done in as a combination, phase two and three together, the tax would be abated for the first 8 years. In year nine, it would start at 50% and would reach 100% in year 14. Those are the terms that have been put in the application. The application has been made to the IDA to grant those tax exemptions. We're here tonight to have input from the public on those issues, and that's what we'll be doing in a few minutes. But before that, I'm going to turn it back to Bruce, and we're going to have a presentation, I think, from the owners.
Thank you. Before we do that, we're going to have a presentation by Ken Flood on the cost-benefit analysis that the IDA goes through to make a determination on a project that we have come before us. So, Ken? Thank you.
You trust this guy's word.
Good evening. Before I get into the numbers of the cost-benefit analysis, I think it's very important to understand where and how these numbers are generated. This, what is called the board report or the cost-benefit analysis, is generated by Inform Analytics, which is a software package purchased by Columbia County IDA, and at the suggestion, under the development of the Center for Governmental Research, and under the advisement of the state comptroller, and that advice was that each IDA in the state do a cost-benefit analysis as part of their consideration of whether or not to provide tax benefits to a project. I want to be clear that the IDA, this is not the only thing the IDA considers when reviewing a project. They consider public input, public comments, comments from taxing jurisdictions to the affected taxing jurisdictions. They do consider the cost-benefit analysis, type of business, and then ultimately what this is all about is jobs. Jobs for people and residents of the county and the surrounding area to be able to support their families, to be able to buy houses, and participate in the economy of the Columbia County and the region. So considering that, Inform Analytics, you basically input the numbers, and the numbers aren't exact to what Jim just said because of quirks in the software. But basically what it generates, what this project would generate is a $10 benefit to every dollar of incentive, which is very substantial. The total employment, which is direct, indirect, and induced. Induced is the jobs that would be created by households who have employment at the Ginsberg facility. That total employment is projected at 442. The income tax revenue from all those jobs is projected to be $6.3 million. Property tax revenue in terms of the pilot over the 12 years that Jim had talked about, roughly $800 to $1 million. And he went over the incentives in terms of the numbers for the mortgage recording tax and the pilot and the sales tax, so I won't do that again. As I said, there are many factors that the IDA considers. And of course, jobs is number one. Not only projected create job creation, but of course, the 270 people that Ginsberg already employs, and their families. To put this in perspective, each year the state comptroller, and this is very important, the state comptroller issues a report on the performance of IDAs. Just to give you some type of perspective, and this is a report on the state controller's website. In terms of expenses per job gained, Columbia County in the last 13 projects is at $181 in expenses for job gained. The median for the state, excluding New York City, different animal, is 191, and the average is $6,400. So Columbia County IDA, in its terms of its performance, of this demonstrates their seriousness in terms of what they consider before they actually approve tax benefits and incentives for a project.
Thank you, Ken. Now I'd like to introduce Steve Riley, the counsel for Ginsberg's Foods. Steve?
Yes. Good evening. My name is Stephen Riley. I'm an attorney with Whiteman, Osterman & Hand in Albany, New York, here tonight on behalf of the applicant and the Ginsberg Institution of Foods. I'm sure most people are here very anxious to hear the lawyer drone on a little longer, but I'll have to disappoint you. I will simply introduce David Ginsberg with a few comments, and then we'll turn it back over to the chairman.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Bruce, Ken, the board. Good evening, everyone, and I am amazed at how many people are out here tonight interested in the Ginsburg's project moving forward. Thank you for all of your interest. And for giving me the opportunity to share my views with you tonight. If I'm redundant, please bear with me. Some of the things I'm about to say you probably have already heard, but I will get through it quickly. First, let me start by thanking all of you for working with the company and my family to help us bring this important project to fruition. It is important to the business that we expand now so we can stay competitive in our industry. It is important to our 270 employees who we value for their expertise and loyalty to the business. It is important to my family, who has been in business in this county for more than 100 years now, and we want to stay right here. And we like to think it is important to the county to have committed family business that wants to invest $30 million here, add jobs, and continue to be an economic engine for growth in our community. Even as we have engaged in these discussions with you going back to last year, our competitive landscape is changing dramatically. The two biggest companies in our industry, Sysco and U.S. Foods, have announced they intend to merge, creating a much bigger and more powerful enterprise. And just a few weeks ago, Driscoll Foods, a competitor of ours in northern New Jersey, received $18.5 million in tax credits to move 9 miles down the road and build a new warehouse the size of what we're doing to expand our facilities and to grow our business. With all of this activity happening literally as we speak, we are in no position to stand still. To be able to grow and stay competitive in our industry, we need to expand, period. We do not have the luxury of tinkering around the edges of what we have or making do with our existing footprint. In our industry, scale is critical. We must expand, and we must do it now or risk our business and the economic benefits to our community being marginalized. Everything we have done to build our business to where it is today will be at risk if we do not expand. Obtaining the financial assistance we are requesting from the IDA is a critical factor in our ability to expand now. As we have said all along, our priority is to expand right here in Columbia County. This has been home to my family for more than a century. It is the home of 60% of our employees and their families, and it is Nancy's and my home, and we want to stay here. It was in that spirit that we've engaged in the good faith negotiations that have brought us to these final stages. We believe that the mutual agreement we reached is good for Ginsburg's, good for our employees and their families, and good for Columbia County. For our part, we have committed an initial investment of $12 million of our own money to build an additional 65,000 square feet of refrigerated storage. We expect that at this initial expansion, we'll add 21 jobs to our local workforce over and above our current employment. Over time, we expect to invest another $21 million to increase our company's overall expansion to more than 300,000 square feet. Overall, we expect that our $30 million investment will add a total of 50 new permanent jobs here. And let's not minimize that fact that being able to expand here helps preserve the 270 existing jobs in our current workforce. These are great jobs with an average wage of $52,000 a year. As you know, the new and existing Ginsburg's jobs tells only part of the story. The IDA's own independent consultant, Inform Analytics, has estimated that in just the first phase of the project alone, another 167 jobs will be created during construction and through the increased economic activity that will be generated from our growth here in the county. Inform Analytics has also estimated that the tax revenue alone that is generated because of this expanded facility will be more than $11 million. This does not count additional benefits to our community resulting from further spending due to continued and increased employment and increased cost of operations. We believe those figures speak very strongly to the fact that any benefits provided to Ginsburg's will produce an excellent return to all parties. And as Inform Analytics has demonstrated, the county will receive a very strong financial return on these investments, along with security for hundreds of existing jobs and the creation of many more new jobs. Now, I know that there are some of you who have disagreed with certain aspects of these recommended benefits. And in all honesty, while it might be difficult for me to hear some of your comments made about me or our business, I respect everyone's opinion and their right to express it. You're not in business for 100 years without having an ear for what your friends and neighbors are saying, or not saying, for that matter. And in fairness, in all my years of business, I don't think I've ever come across a negotiation or a public matter where there weren't opposing views. But at the end of the day, I do know this. We are a family business, and our family business has been right here for more than a century. The fact is, we need these benefits to stay competitive right here and now in Columbia County. We consider ourselves part of the fabric of this community, and we feel an obligation to be an employer of choice and a good corporate citizen. And we take pride in the level of support that the company and its employees have contributed in so many ways over the years. We are doing our best to continue to grow the company and remain strong in the face of competition and the continuing uncertain economic conditions. And we are extremely grateful that you have worked with us to ensure that our growth will occur right here. We believe that this is the kind of public-private partnership that is a model for how communities can work with businesses to create long-term sustainable growth. Again, thank you very much for your willingness to work with us and for your efforts in reaching our agreement. We look forward to getting started on the project and serving this community for many decades to come.
Thank you, David. Now it's the time for public comment. We'd like you to stand, state your name, and be as concise as possible. We have a lot of people in the room, and I'm sure a lot of people wish to make comments, and we certainly want to get to everyone. But if you could be concise, speak to the issues, speak to the finance issues that we've talked about earlier, it'd be appreciated. So just going to start with a show of hands, and I'll just kind of work my way around the room. So, wish to speak? Miss?
You want me to speak from here or speak from there?
You can speak from there. Where we have a stand.
You can use a microphone. I would appreciate it.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Hi.
Just speak right into it.
Awesome. Okay. Good evening. And thank you, Columbia County IDA, for your support and consideration of Ginsburg's expansion project. My name is Suzanne Kozel-Roitze, and I'm the Chief Operations Officer at Ginsburg's Foods. I grew up and played on the property presently known as the County Commerce Park. I also stand before you representing the Kozel family, another family business that has been in Columbia County for multiple generations and has done business with Ginsburg's Foods. Personally, I've been employed at Ginsburg's for over 30 years. 4 years ago, when we began our expansion plans, we considered many opportunities. The IDA is well aware of other counties as well as other states. David shared with you recently an initiative in the state of New Jersey to pursue successful established businesses that have expansion plans. The quote-unquote corporate welfare incentive offered to Ginsburg's Foods were even greater from outside counties and agencies. They recognized the total impact that this project, a project of this size, would have on their communities. The Ginsburg family, however, remains committed to Columbia County, and it's my hope and our employees' hope that we don't regret this decision. Expanding our business with this proposed project is imperative to Ginsburg's future growth and success. As David mentioned, these are very challenging times. We are growing and we need this new facility. Without this building expansion project, there potentially will be a negative impact on our business, on our employees, on our customers, which will eventually have a trickle-down effect into the county. Please consider moving forward with your total support of this investment into the community and the county, and not be influenced by the small minority who have not lived here or worked here for over 100 years. Thank you.
My name is Michael Singer. I live in Austerlitz. I'm just a taxpayer. And I want to know why a company that I think has a annual revenue of over $100 million. Am I right about that? No? What is your total revenue?
Yeah,
We don't have to get into that.
Why don't we?
Just a minute, sir.
Let me finish. You want to give these people a loan. Not, you're not giving them a loan, you're guaranteeing a loan. And you're doing it at an interest rate which is below what almost every other borrower is paid for loans from banks or whatever, whoever loans the money that you help guarantee. We have a right to know if a company is struggling and they need money to survive or to grow because they're struggling. That's one thing. If we have a company that is making an enormous amount of money and wants to grow, I don't understand why the taxpayers have to pay for that. And I'd like an answer.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Columbia County Industrial Development Agency. My name is Neil Howard. I am the superintendent of the Deconic Hills School District. It is my responsibility to represent the children, the Board of Education, and the taxpayers of the district. I would like to reiterate the position of the district in opposition to this payment in lieu of taxes, which is really no taxes for 6 years and significantly decreased or reduced taxes for at least another 5 years. On the property within the school district's boundaries, as outlined in my letter to the agency dated October 3rd, 2014. I have reviewed the proposed deviation from the uniform tax exemption policy, and I have 5 points for you to consider. Number one, the terms of the proposed pilot appear to be unprecedented, and that a company may be granted a multi-year 100% real property tax exemption. Number two, I am not aware of any audited financial statements submitted by the applicant to justify the need for or fairness of the real property tax exemptions proposed. Number three, the proposed pilot has no clawback provisions as such. If the company is sold or is unable to fulfill the economic development obligations as outlined in the pilot, the taxes be reinstated retroactively. Number four, the IDA does not have a policy that includes taxing entities such as school districts at the table when pilots are developed and discussed. And number five, if this pilot is approved as proposed, the school tax liability for this corporation will be redistributed to the taxpayers of Ghent and Clawford. There is no information suggesting the IDA has negotiated the terms of the proposed pilot with the interest of the school district's taxpayers in mind. Thank you.
Good evening.
I'm a citizen.
Thank you, Columbia County IDA, for holding this public hearing.
Come on, pal.
And allowing an opportunity for supportive comments to be presented on behalf of Ginsburg Foods. My name is Ed Majeka. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for Ginsburg Foods, a position I have held for over 13 years. Without question, I have personal interest in seeing Ginsburg Foods grow and expand. No one benefits if their employer stagnates, closes its doors, or moves out of the area, especially the communities in which they operate. A thriving Ginsburg Foods means continued investment in the community. We do this by supporting and patronizing businesses within our community, such as fuel suppliers, internet providers, local restaurants, contractors, service providers, and financial institutions. This support comes not only from Ginsburg's, the company, but from its employees as well. Employees who are in this community 5 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. Ginsburg's as a company has expended over $1.4 million over the first 9 months of 2014 with many of the above-mentioned businesses. How much more money has been contributed by its employees for businesses they patronize individually each day of the week? What becomes of those expenditures by the businesses? Payments of real estate tax, sales tax, state income tax, and employee wages, as well as payments to all of the same business providers mentioned earlier. If Ginsburg's is forced to stop growing and expanding, what residual impact will be felt by the business community? Is $1.4 million so easily replaced here in Columbia County? Please support our freezer expansion initiative.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Bill Quinn. I work with Ryder Transportation, and Ginsburg is certainly a valued partner. If you distribute food, you need trucks, and the growth that Ginsburg has experienced in recent years is on the radar corporately for a Fortune 500 company. The impact to continue that level of support led us to close a shop in Berkshire County and open a shop in Columbia County. At the time, we employed three people to stay pace with primarily Ginsburg Foods. There's now seven people. We buy fuel, we buy parts, we use local services as subcontractors, but we need to stay pace, and we will do whatever we need to do because it's a valued partnership, and the impact of our employees and our operating in this area will continue. And wherever they go, we will go. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good evening, and thank you, members of the IDA, for allowing me to speak. My name is John Rutke. I'm the Vice President of Human Resources for Ginsburg's Foods. I'm a lifelong Columbia County resident and an employee of Ginsburg's for nearly 2 years at this point in time. I wanted to take a moment to briefly highlight the contributions our employees make to this community and the value of having the company the size of Ginsburg remain in Columbia County. As you've heard, we're 270 employees strong and certainly looking to grow, and the expansion will certainly help us grow. We are 60% Columbia County residents. We have an average tenure of 15 years. So we are not providing jobs, we're providing career opportunities for Columbia County residents, members of the contiguous counties, and those employees that we hire in our large service footprint, which is nearly 250 miles in radius from the city of Hudson. We, as an employee base, employ people that have GEDs and high school diplomas all the way through master's degrees. Okay, we are designed in our rates and our wages to be competitive in the county, to be competitive in our industry, to draw people from contiguous counties to Columbia County, and again, hire the best talent we can in our service footprint. On average, a person with a high school education working in our warehouse starts at $13.75 an hour. With tenure, they can earn $18 or more an hour. High school education or GED. Drivers with a high school education and a Class A CDL license, nearly $22 an hour to start. Okay? Sales representatives towards the professional end of our workforce, nearly $75,000 a year average annual salary. Okay, this is what Ginsburg's provides to this community and beyond. With the disposable income I've just mentioned, those 60% of our employees are able to remain in the county, buy houses, taxpayers, school taxpayers, property taxpayers. That cannot be understated. With the career opportunities that we provide and the ability to remain residents of this county, our employees become volunteer firefighters and EMTs. Some of our employees are members of this very firehouse that we sit in tonight. They're scout leaders, they're coaches in your youth league, soccer, baseball, softball, you name it, we're involved. We're also members of local boards and organizations such as the Workforce Investment Board. So we take an active role in our community. But regardless of where our employees live, we are also very active in charitable and civic events. We've done things like Walk for Life, Rally for the Cure. We're involved in a Hudson Reads mentorship program in the Hudson City School District. We provided backpacks and school supplies to those kids in John Edwards and the Hudson City School District. Habitat for Humanity, food drives, United Way, sponsorships of the Columbia County Fair, and most recently, the Chili Fest that was held in the city of Hudson. Ginsburg's employees and Ginsburg's as a company are present everywhere you look in the county and beyond. So when we think about making this decision and we think about Ginsburg's and their application, and the considerations we're asking for, we're not a faceless company. Many of the faces that make up Ginsburg's are in the audience tonight. So please take that into consideration. We appreciate your support and consideration of the project.
My name is Stephanie Sussman. I'm a resident of the town of Claverick. We've heard tonight from many of the employees of Ginsburg Food and about the economic benefits that Ginsburg and our community provides, as well as their wonderful philanthropic efforts on behalf of the community. And those things are wonderful. And Ginsburg, as a thriving business, is welcomed in Columbia County. What disturbs me and many of my neighbors who I speak with is the unfair advantage that Ginsburg seems to be seeking in this process for a pilot. We as taxpayers are willing and want to support our community and pay our taxes. But as Superintendent Howard outlined, the benefits under this pilot program that's being sought by Ginsburg are unprecedented. It has been reported that within the last several years, there was a desire on the part of Ginsburg to put itself up for sale. And one of the concerns that we have is that if this pilot is granted, which provides unprecedented tax relief to the Ginsburg Corporation, that a new buyer will inherit these unfair advantages that place additional burdens on the taxpayers of Columbia County, on the towns of Claverick and Ghent, and on our school district. So these are issues that the citizens of this community are concerned about. It's also a concern that this desired design for the new construction is an effort to make the Ginsburg property, the big Ginsburg company, more saleable. What's valuable to a potential buyer of Ginsburg is the routes and the reach that Ginsburg has. Its current physical plant, obviously, is not an attractive selling point for a future buyer, which is why a building a new physical plant seems to be a very wise business decision for Ginsberg. But the proposed building that would be built is in no way high-tech, is in no way fitting for the surrounding community, and would place a detriment to the other economic engines of this community, which are agriculture, tourism, and just a beautiful place to live and work, as all of you know. So I, as a taxpayer, and many of my community neighbors feel that this pilot is unwarranted and that it drains our citizenry of the necessary tax benefits that a corporation, a profitable corporation of this size, should be bearing. We want Ginsberg to be profitable. We want you to keep your jobs. We want you to stay in our community. But we also want you to shoulder your responsibility as a member of this community and pay your taxes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next? Yes?
It sounds like we're talking about 21 jobs. Well, we're not. 290 jobs.
You want to come up and make? You want to come up and make?
I think I'm pretty loud. Only 60% are in Columbia County.
We need to have you come up if you wish to make a comment.
My name's Loretta Hoffman, and I guess I just have some questions because listening to Ginsberg has 290 employees, but only 60% are here in Columbia County, so that's 160, and we're talking about adding 21 jobs and a lot of tax benefits that we're all going to pay for. So have there been any successful business tax breaks in Columbia County so far, Local Ocean, Flanders, that have really created jobs that have paid for the taxes that we as taxpayers have had to ante up for these tax benefits? Have even one proved beneficial? So before we give these huge tax breaks for 21 jobs, I just want to understand what we're talking about. 21 jobs, and you're talking about the average pay being $50,000. I want to know what the average pay of those 21 people that are really going to be factory, even if it's $13 an hour, the minimum wage of basically a cleaning woman in this country, in this county, is $25 an hour. Almost anyone, if you want to clean a house and you can clean well, can make $25 an hour. So, for 13 hours to work in a factory, right?
Cleaning woman.
Really, a cleaning woman, $25 an hour. You can't get anyone good for less. So, and we're not giving tax breaks and cash. So, I'm just 21 jobs. I'm really scratching my head. What did Local Ocean prove for us? What did Flanders, who's going to be closing soon and on the balls of their butt, prove for us? What have we really done by promising it's the small businesses that are coming into Columbia County that are creating the jobs, that are building tourism, and that are really building something sustainable and friendly for the people that live here, not the big corporations? And I love Ginsberg. It's great they're here, but for 21 jobs, what are we giving away?
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Sarah Sterling. I'm a county supervisor representing Hudson, and I'm on the CEDC board. I just want some clarification. There's one thing I can't understand is that, like, phase one, it'll start out in no taxes for year 1 to 6. And then when phase two comes in, does the whole project go back to no taxes again, or is that a wraparound?
Separate pilots.
So, but this first pilot
speak up, please?
There are three separate pilots.
Okay, and they would all run?
Concurrently.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you for giving me a minute to speak. My name is Joe Ordway. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Merchandising for Ginsberg Foods. I didn't have a prepared speech. I had a few bullet points I wanted to touch on, and some of the recent comment is almost making me want to veer off in different directions here. But one of the things I wanted to speak on behalf of is our customer base. By the end of this year, we'll have serviced about 3,500 customers in our footprint, from the Adirondacks to Westchester County, west to Syracuse, east to Hartford, Connecticut. About 380 of those accounts reside in Columbia County. Those accounts have been doing business, the lion's share of them, with the Ginsbergs for decades. We treat a lot of those accounts a little bit differently in Columbia County. They pay less for their groceries. They get multiple days per week deliveries. They have a cash and carry store that they can come, drive up to, buy their groceries at their existing prices, six days a week. We have a local run that we send out, a van four times a day from our facility, with about 20 or 30 stops on it to service our local customers. One of the things that's probably not going to be possible for us to do are all those extra services for those 380 accounts that we have in Columbia County if we relocate. It's going to cost us more to service that business. Fuel's not cheap. We'll have to make them pay more to get groceries from us. And the restaurant operations in this country, not just Columbia County, especially independents, they're under pressures from national accounts and chains. They're under pressure every day from Applebee's and McDonald's, nationally run corporations. They are reluctant to take up their prices, their menu prices that we all pay. We frequent these 380 accounts every day, if not every week. They're afraid to take their menu prices up because they want to compete with the chains. But by not doing that, their increasing costs are hurting their bottom lines and their profitability. These 380 accounts employ an average of 3,800 people in this county. If their profits aren't maintained, and they refuse to take up their prices because they can't, and they have to pay more for the groceries, they're going to unemploy some of their employees. The unemployment rate could increase in Columbia County due to that. Or they could close. If you want to look up the statistics online, you can. But in the first year, new restaurants, two out of every five close. They don't make it. After 3 years, four out of five don't make it. We do what we can for the local accounts that we service to keep them viable, to keep them profitable. We feel an obligation in this county to do that. The Ginsberg family's been here over 100 years, and we do some special things for those accounts to help keep them profitable and solvent. And we like to prepare and continue to do that in the future. If we're not in the county, and if we have to deliver into this area for further distances, there's a chance that might not be possible. Thanks.
Thank you. Next. Yes, sir. Sheldon Evans, I live in Ghent. I think everyone here is very fond of Ginsberg. We like them, that's fine. But there are problems with this deal. One of them is it seems very, very rich, and I wonder whether any thoughts of negotiation have been considered, or this is the deal I gave and this is the deal I'm going to get. The other part is the clawback idea. Because Ginsberg's is here today, what if they don't give us the 21 jobs, and what if they, as somebody has indicated, decide to sell and we don't have a family-run organization which, according to the Ginsburg people, are very, very paternalistic and very, very good to the country, to the county. So I think that clawback has to be because Ginsburg is here today and they may very well be gone tomorrow. Thank you very much. Yes, miss.
Hi there, my name is Kothi Zan, and I'm a resident of Ghent. And my biggest concern with this project is really with this document, which is the cost-benefit analysis. I think that this document, a lot seems to be riding on this document, and a lot seems to be riding on this $11 million number, which I have seen, I believe, inaccurately portrayed in the press as $11 million annually. And I believe it was also presented as that was money that was going to be from income tax on the employees, which I think perhaps every member of the board recognizes that is inaccurate, that this is a discounted present value number of $11 million. Correct? This is not $11 million annually, as has been in the press. Do we all agree on that?
They're not going to answer.
Okay, well, I'm going to assume it's a discounted present value one-time payment of $11 million, not $11 million annually. Nevertheless, I mean, my concern is that I respect that you're using a software package. That's great. But I think that this document really fails to answer a number of my questions and really fails to make a significant comparison on the questions that have been raised tonight. You know, for example, you're talking about income tax revenue of $6 million. I assume that's state income tax. It's unclear that money is not coming back to the county or this area, but that's going to the state. How does that compare? And the property tax pilot revenue, it's a number, but how does it compare to what would happen if they didn't have this deal and they were paying property taxes on this land? You know, I just, you know, just generally, I think that this document is really kind of pathetic, and this is a really big deal. And all of these issues that were raised by the school superintendent, they are not reflected here. And I think that we, the people, need to see a lot more transparency in the deal. I'm not opining on whether I think it's a good deal or not, because I simply can't based on this document. And that's all.
Thank you. Next. Any further comments?
I hope I'm not the last one to speak, but I'm Patty Matheny. I live in Ghent, and I guess I just wanted to make clear, I'm very concerned that everything I heard from Ginsburg's is that if you don't, or the Ginsburg employees, if you don't get this pilot, you're going to leave. Yeah. And I've heard this over and over in the press, over and over again, Mrs. Kozel, Roitze, said that, there was just a few people that were concerned about this that haven't lived here forever. I don't necessarily think Ginsburg's would agree with that or think that's true. Maybe she does speak for them, but I haven't lived here forever, but I do have questions that I think are fair, and I don't think I'm the minority in some of the questions that I have. But I'm very concerned that there's this threat, this overriding threat, that you won't be here without this particular pilot. And I wish that would be answered to us and that we would have some clear understanding, as Kofi just said, about what exactly the deal is. It seems also that it's unprecedented that this is the second time a pilot of this magnitude has been given to this company, and I think it's unprecedented that other companies in the county have gotten a second pilot. My understanding of pilots is typically for new businesses, for businesses that are in need, and I guess that has not been shown. We have not seen that kind of transparency. It just hasn't been out there. So yes, there's been a lot of people writing about this, every newspaper and blogger and everything else is written because we aren't getting information. It's just not being given to us. We are not clear. You know, that none of you were even at the last public hearing in Ghent.
That's not true.
You were, I'm sorry. You were there. We didn't know you were there. But you were there, and there was no presentation given to the people of Ghent. So this is clever. Now, I don't know, but I think you should think about the people in Ghent too, because we have concerns. And it was really outrageous that none of you were here, were there that day except one. I'm sorry, and that we all just were. You know, I guess it was recorded. Did you read all of the comments? Did all of you read the transcripts of? You know, that's good if you read them. But you know, I just think it is. I haven't seen this for other small businesses. I've done my research. And other small businesses aren't getting these same kinds of deals. I'm happy for the Ginsburgs to be here. I love the Ginsburgs. I'm happy they're here. I like their business. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that this overriding threat to your employees, who are hardworking employees, I don't understand that. If that's the case, I guess come out and say it. That's pretty much what we've heard and what we think, is that if you don't get this deal, and you don't get the dollar land deal, and you don't get that piece of property, and you're going to be gone. And but yet you love the county, and you have worked hard in this county, and want to employ people in this county. So that's the concern. And we don't understand exactly what the deal is. It has not been made clear anywhere. It has not been made clear to the public, and we deserve to know, because we are taxpayers. Even if we haven't lived here forever or weren't born here and haven't lived here for 100 years, you know, I really take issue with that, because I know that we're all very hardworking and give back to this community in all kinds of different ways. So I think it's really unfair to say that if we weren't born here that we don't have an interest in this.
Anyone else? Yes, sir? Hi, my name is Steve Honecker. I'm the produce buyer at Ginsburg's, and I was not born here. I grew up in North Jersey, right by Hackensack. I moved up here 25 years ago to take the job of Ginsburg's produce buyer. At that time, we had 8 trucks. We had 12 salesmen. We had little under 100 employees. We've grown. We've grown quite a bit, but we've hit a stone wall now. When I get a load of apples in from Yonder Farms in Valencia, I have nowhere to put them in the warehouse. I have no place to put them. We have to rent tractor trailers to put the apples in that we're selling to all of the school districts, because we have no room in our coolers. We need the expansion so bad, it's actually hurting our business. I'd also like to address the issue of the fear that Ginsburg's might sell. A lot of farmers that I deal with, they're worried because they're in their 50s and 60s and their children don't want to continue the business. They're down in New York City, they've taken courses in computer, they're working for big companies down there. The Ginsburgs have a son who's going to continue on in this business, John Bruzzi. He will continue on. When David retires 20 years from now, John will continue on. We know this. As a Ginsburg employee, we are not afraid that they're going to close the building or move. There's absolutely no fear by the employees. And if they moved to another county, I'd follow them. But they're not going to move. They're going to stay here. Thank you.
Any further comments? Yes.
I'm sorry, Sue Eilenberg. I am a resident of the town of Clawbrook and property that has been proposed New Ginsburg's facility. My question revolves around the trucks. How many trucks does Ginsburg now have? And the proposed site shows parking for 168 trucks. So what's the customer base? I heard the number, but I didn't get it written down. So the customer base is whatever it is now. How many trucks are they using to facilitate that business? How many
new business accounts will they need, and where is that coming from? What is the impetus for this amount of growth? I understand the need for some growth, but this seems to be huge. And the amount of truck traffic that will be generated from this facility seems to be above and beyond what the current road would allow. And also the noise and the amount of just general upheaval for this new facility. So could somebody address that, please?
Thank you. Any further comments?
Do you plan on answering any of these questions?
Well, I'd like to take a moment. I want Ted to come up and address two things that were brought up this evening so far, which I want him to direct his comments to, and that's the clawback provisions that we anticipate having in this proposal. So, Ted, would you come up and address those?
I think simply stated that recent pilot agreements do have clawback provisions. In fact, the state mandates it for the sales tax, and it's the IDA's policy to have clawback provisions in all their pilot agreements. So that is something that the IDA definitely will consider, and I think that that'll protect the community from
clawback provisions.
Based on what criteria?
Well, I think the two basic issues are: will the company move, or will the company sell? And I think under those circumstances, the clawback provisions will have some applicability. Quite frankly, I'm not prepared to tell you because it hasn't been. It's something that the IDA board has to discuss. I think you need to keep in mind that this is a proposal at this stage, and part of the input that the IDA board gets is the community comment. So once the community comment is in, then the IDA board meets and discusses this proposal. So, the clawback issue will be discussed, and there'll be clawback provisions in the agreement. I'm pretty confident of that.
Is it the law that there need to be agreements, clawback agreements?
Or the sales tax. But the IDA policy provides that there will be clawback in any kind of benefits that this Columbia County IDA. We have a specific written policy on that issue.
Thank you. Any further comments?
What about written comments?
Well, certainly, yes. Certainly accept.
To you, or are you going
yes.
To just
we'll accept all written comments. If you wish to mail the written comments, you can do so as well. The public notice and the address where to mail those. We have received maybe a dozen so far written comments. So please do so. If you don't want to come up and speak, send us your comments. Like Ted said, we haven't made a decision yet. I mean, we are soliciting comments to gather information so the board can make a decision on this. It is a process, and this is part of the process. So nothing's been cast in stone. We're in the throes of making a determination. So I want to thank everyone for coming out this evening. We greatly appreciate your presence. And pardon? This is the last public hearing. But we will be deliberating.
The public comment is used as one of the factors in making the final decision.
Sure.
And once the board makes the decision, there's no more public hearing.
Should it be presented before it's executed? Should it be presented to the people?
Well, our meetings are our meetings are certainly open to the public. We advertise the meeting, so anyone can come to the meetings where we have a discussion and make a final determination. So
if you decide to make a decision and then you come up with the proponents of that decision, doesn't that put you in a very weak negotiation process with your client or your advocate?
Well, it's the board that'll make that determination. So with that, I wish to close the public hearing. Thank you all for coming out this evening. We really appreciate your comments. Thank you very much. Thank you.